Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing? It is an absolutely spectacular day out there. Got sun shining in, temperatures getting up. Hope you had a good week. Let's see, we're going to start today with 169, please, and let's stand. 169.
Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder working power. Precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Sing the last.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this song. Thank you for reminding us that there is power in the blood of your Son, Lord. Thank you for our Savior, Lord, who made sacrifice for us here on this earth, Lord. Gave his life for us, Lord. He was a teacher, great man that he was, Lord. Had victory over death, Lord, was the main subject there. Thank you, Lord, that our Christ is risen today and that because of his blood that we can have also have his power. Thanks for seeing our pastor through the sickness he had and his wife. Others, Lord, are still ailing a little bit. I just ask you, guide and direct there, Lord. Make them well again that we can see them back here amongst us. Thanks for the good group of folks that showed up today. The beautiful day that we have, Lord. So many things that we have to be thankful for, Lord. You do for us always, and thank you for it. Guide and direct today, Lord. Be with my pastor as he speaks. And I pray that if someone needs you, Lord, that person will get it right before they leave the building today. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 291, please. 291.
Faith on heaven's table land, a high higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the most high and catch a gleam of glory bright. I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lay me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you. Let's see announcements. Tonight's our evening service, 6 o'clock. Make sure you show up for that. Our Way of the Masters continues there. We got personal evangelism on the 20th. Our nominating committee for our annual business meeting is to meet on the 29th at 6 o'clock. Got baptismal class tonight at 5. Membership class is going to meet next Sunday at 3. Reports for the business meeting are due on the 3rd. Items for the agenda are due on the 6th. Annual business meeting is the 13th of March. Ballots are due today. On the back table is a bulletin that lists all of Fruitland Baptist Church services. Please feel free to take one. A thought for the week by our pastor. March is a good month to remember Jesus as the lion and the lamb. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the offering. Go ahead, Pastor.
Just one little thing. The ballots are not due today. They're due this coming Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day. The opportunity to be here today, Lord. Got a chance to sing a few songs, Lord, and anticipate some time in your word with our pastor. Please, Lord, again, guide and direct him. Give him the power he needs. And now, Lord, we're going to take up an offering. Remembering you, be with the gift and the giver as we do so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Kay's going to play for us now.
Matthew 6:29-8. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Yeah. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the Father who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Thank you for that great reminder. Good morning to one and all. What a glorious day it is that God's given us today. You know, I appreciated that, Kay, especially today, because think of the time that we waste and how inefficient we are in our times of anxiety and worry about things. And God doesn't want that for us. You know, there's really just a few things that we ought to be concerned about with a diligence. And that, number one, is not only our own souls, but the souls of other people. And the fact that we have the message to give them of the love of God in Jesus Christ who died for our sins. But you know, the rest of it, we can let it go. The Apostle Peter said what? Cast all your cares or your anxiety, your worries on Him. He, meaning Jesus, cares for you and for me, for us. We can let it go today. There's things that are important, but where do our priorities lie? Thank you, Kay, for that this morning. And it is interesting to note, I think it's true with lilies, and if I'm wrong on this, I'll be gladly be corrected. But I think with most plants, as they look toward the sun, their heads stop hanging low, and they open up and stand up straight. So today, look on the sun, not the literal sun, but the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's good to be with you today. Again, forgive my absence last week. I wanted to be here. You know, God's work is somewhat like dairy farming. It's always there, and you know you should be out there. But sometimes you can't. And that was one of those times. But Kim and I don't want to endanger anyone, and therefore we took that pass last week. But thank you for all that stood up and filled in. Lonnie did some speaking. Many of you had a hand in what took place. And so this work goes on whether I'm here or not. Praise God. Amen. Welcome to everyone. We're just so glad to see a good number out today. And if you're here visiting for the first time, we're especially glad you're here. I think you've come to the right place. And the reason is because the truths of the Word of God are still proclaimed at Fruitland. And we love one another. So we're glad to see you. Dean and Shirley, nice to see you with us this morning. Yep. I'll give you the Wilton wave. Yep. Remember, it's the right finger. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make that clear. But in Wilton, we'd be saying hiya. So anyway, good to see you today. We're going to take a short time of prayer, as we do every Sunday. We know there are many needs in our midst, but there are also many joys and blessings. So we're going to quiet our hearts just for a few moments here before I have a short pastoral prayer. And let your heart know, let your thoughts be known again to the Lord today. We are here for a worship service. Worship literally means to bow in front of Jesus. And so if we direct our hearts to show Him His worthiness for just a few minutes. And I do ask that you'd pray for me as well to deliver this message. And again, that the Holy Spirit would use all this today, but we know there are several in our number who are ill, some that are critically ill, others who may be experiencing various difficulties in this thing called life. So we'll take time to pray about that this morning. But this morning's title is The Ten Commandments, God's Holiness Manifested, Man's Unholiness exposed. So we'll delve into that as far as we can get today and see what God has for us. And again, it's a great day to be alive. So let's bow for a few moments silently, and then we'll have a short pastoral prayer and we'll get into the message. Our Father in heaven, now as these prayers go up before your throne this day, we thank you for the venue of prayer that was afforded to us through the work and personality of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome God you are, and also, Lord, the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. Today we want to just take a moment to extol all of your virtues, Lord God, and we realize today that we can never plumb the depths of the greatness of who you are. You're the great Creator. You're the sustainer, and you're the redeemer of mankind. Lord, we thank you for the plan and the program that you have shared with your creation and for your fellowship that's available for humanity. We thank you today for every person that's come into this place. And today, Lord, as the parking lot has cars in it, we pray for those that may be driving by on the street and see people gathered here today. I pray today, Lord, you'd put a thirst and an inquisitive spirit in their hearts, that they would come not maybe here for a time of worship and fellowship, but Lord, that maybe someone of us personally might get to interact with them and share your good news. We thank you, Lord, for the great commission that you've given us and the work that we have that we can accomplish with joy. Today, Lord, as I mentioned earlier, I appreciated Kay's song today, help us to take the example from your creation of the lilies. Let us raise our heads to view you today, Lord, as the Son of God. But again, Lord, let us cast off all our anxiety and the things that beset our walk and our race that we run with you, Lord. Let us cast them on you because you care for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you bore our sins on Calvary's cross. And Lord, that you not only died and bled for those sins to pay the price and the penalty in our place, but you rose again victoriously, guaranteeing us new life eternally for those who by faith will receive that work that you've done on their behalf. So, Lord, it's with joy today that we come to your throne this morning. Father, I do pray today for several, and I could go into names, but you know them, Lord, but we know there are some in our number that are critically ill. There are others that have seen some progress this week, Lord, in health issues. But Lord, we know ultimately our health is one thing, but our spiritual health is the most important. But I pray for those, Lord, that are downtrodden today with sickness, that you would raise them up in your time. Lord, once again, that you as the great physician would come alongside and heal their ills. Lord, we also know there could be folks of our number that maybe are struggling today with various things and the maladies of this broken world. We ask that you would come alongside them as well, Lord. Give them strength. Give them courage. Let them know your nearness today. And Lord, we think of our community right outside of our walls, however far that is. And Lord, we again ask that you would use Fruitland as a refuge point where people that are hurting can come. I pray, Lord, that there'd be healing found in you through the ministry of this church. Now, Lord, today we always battle with time. And there will be a time when we'll be with you where time will no longer be relevant, but it will be all eternity. But for today, I ask, Lord, that you would help me to preach effectively. Lord, you already know I'm weak. I'm not capable of this. And the only way it can even come about is through your help. But I pray today, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be present not only to give me help today, the shaky hands and the weak knees, but Lord, that your Spirit would convict a heart today if there'd be one in our number who is not in a personal walk with you. And Lord, that your Spirit would comfort someone that may be troubled today about their walk, and that it would be restored or grow more vibrant after today and our time together in fellowship. So we give you this time for you, and we do come to you, Lord, on bowed and bended knee, bowed heads and bended knee, to recognize today that you indeed are worthy of all our accolades. And so, Lord, we commit this time for you and for your glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I have just three little things I need to mention before we go into the message. Number one, there is a baptismal class tonight at 5 o'clock. Anyone that may be interested in being baptized and learning more about that is welcome to come. This class does not obligate you to anything. And along with that class, next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Lord willing, again, we will have a membership class because we've had some teaching about that, about the local church and God's importance for that. And so these are informational classes that can help you, again, to be clearly able to understand what God's Word says about both of those possibilities. So I invite you for those 5 o'clock this week, 5 o'clock next. And if you have a question about that, just mention to me at the door if that would be the case, and I'll try to clarify that. If you've already been baptized, you would not need to come tonight, but there are some reasons that it wouldn't hurt if you're wondering about that and also wondering about church membership. And then the last thing, and this is a little lighter note, I put some devotionals out this week, and I opened the suggestion box. And there was only one suggestion in there. And the suggestion was to preach about self-awareness. And there were some ideas. And so whoever put that in there, I will definitely do that as time permits and as the Spirit leads in the near future. So if you have a suggestion, you can go ahead and put that in that box and we'll take a look at that as time permits. We'll get to that. I was concerned whenever I opened that box that there might be a note in there that says vacate the pulpit and vacate the pastorate. And if that's the case, that can be done too. So we all get it our way, just like Burger King, right? Have it your way. No. It's a joy to be with you folks today. Please forgive the voice troubles I'm having. But you know I'm trouble all the time anyway. Well, some of you know this already, and I'm just going to go off the cuff a little bit here today. I wrote out a whole spiel like I always do, but if you've been around here for the last 2 months, and we're still not done, we've been working on a study called Way of the Master. And it's by Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort. And while I don't endorse every jot and tittle in those books, it's a motivational thing to get God's people to do what, Fruitland Baptist Church, if you've come to those classes? To witness to people, to introduce people to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? And the basis of what Ray talks about there and how we reach people is the basis of what I'm going to be speaking about today and probably next week and maybe the week after, the way I go about things. But it's the idea of the concept of God's law and how when we put ourselves up against the law of God, and I want to thoroughly, totally explore this idea about the law, what we find, what people think, is that we're really pretty good people. But the Bible and the law and the conscience where God's law is written, if we take a critical look at ourselves, and let me just say this, the Bible always wants us to take an accurate look at ourselves. Look at ourselves for who we are. And I can just tell you about me, the picture is not pretty. And neither is it for you. And if you've been deceived by that, we need to have our heads adjusted. The wrestling cross face. I can hear the cracks in my neck right now from a good cross face from God. He says, we better get woken up and understand our position. Because there are many people floating around in this world today that think they're really good people, and we're not. Because there is only one that is good, and that is God. And if we are to be brought into a personal relationship with Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it requires an acknowledgement on our part that we're not right. Amen. And God's law shows us that and tells us that Jesus, and this is the essence, Jesus fulfilled God's law in our place if His righteousness is placed on our account. The theological term is imputed. It means when we have a negative balance because of our sin, Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness and the fact that He took our sin upon Him on Calvary's cross, that He covered our sins with His precious blood, now God sees Jesus' blood instead of John's sinful blood. See, that's the thing that that's how we're saved. It's by placing our trust in what Jesus did for us. It's not of works. We cannot work our way to heaven. We're unrighteous people. But when Jesus' righteousness has been imputed to us, we become children of God, and we are destined to fellowship with God for all eternity. That's the essence of what I want to talk about today. But let me just say this. The law is the most confusing things with people. And let me just say this also. I still am looking at all the angles of the law. And a lot of people, when they think about the Ten Commandments, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Rules, right? I've got to obey the rules to do what? To be right in the eyes of God. Because our conscience tells us those are hard rules to obey. And as I say, when we look at ourselves legitimately in the mirror, we find very quickly that we don't what? We don't measure up, and we are deficient, and therefore we are in dire straits before the God of this world, not Satan, but God, the God of the Bible. We are not able to live up or match up to His holiness, and therefore we cannot have the fellowship with Him that He desires and that we ought to desire with Him. It's only through His Son, Jesus. Hopefully I've made that clear this morning. Let me just say this, but this is the whole point of this way of the Master. This is how we reach people. We ask, that's a primary question we ask people. Do you think you're a good person? And we've seen many of these videos, and people without a doubt start off and say, well, I think I am, because compared to them, you know, I'm not an axe murderer, or you name the thing. But compared to the Ten Commandments and the laws that flow out of the Ten Commandments, we quickly find that we're deficient. Now, I'm going to have to put in a cough drop. We may be in trouble. Lonnie, you might have to come up and preach for us this morning, too. Speak. Anyway, just a quickie, though, on this about the law. There's a lot of misinformation out there about that as well. God's law is really made up of three components. It's made up of His moral law. It's made up of civil law, moral, meaning how we treat each other and how we live before God. It's made up of civil law, which has a connotation of how we treat one another and how government that God ordained operates and so forth. I have water, Jason, but I may need more to put the fire out. I may need someone to open this cough drop. We'll get it. And the third part of the law that's explained in the Bible, does anyone know what that is? It's the ceremonial law. Now, when we talk about law, not all the law has been abolished, but the ceremonial law has been abolished. Let me explain that. Has been abolished in Christ. We no longer see our sins adjudicated for in the sacrifice of animals and in blood, literally in animals. The ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because He became, as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins, and His shed blood covers our sins. Today, you cannot get in fellowship with God through the sacrificial ceremonial system. Jesus is the only way. I want you to know that today. You will not get there through sacrificing animals. It was the sacrifice of the Son of God that will bring you into fellowship with the Lord. Jason, thanks a million, and in this days of inflation, thanks 2 million. And I'll add to that till you're better paid. You might have heard that before. But let me tell you something, folks. The law still is in effect for all people. It's just that Jesus fulfilled the law in our place. And when we receive Him by faith, He has taken that penalty. He's actually taken three P's out of the law. He's taken the penalty, first of all. He removes the power of it, secondly, in our lives, and is removing the power of it. And thirdly, in eternity, He will remove the presence of sin from our lives. Jesus fulfilled the law in our place. I've got some commentary here on that I'll give to you as to where we can find that scripturally. But that's a quickie on the law. But if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, never placed your faith and trust in Him, your only hope to be saved is by keeping the law. Because at the great white throne judgment, Jesus is going to adjudicate people by their keeping of the law. And apart from Jesus Christ being our intermediary, and we have having placed our faith and trust in him, will be judged guilty by the law. And because of that, we will have condemned ourselves to eternity in the lake of fire. That's the short course about all these things that are going on. By the way, if you have questions, I like it when we can do questions, but we can't so well in the morning services. But if you have these, and we'll be going back to our evening format soon on Sunday evenings, we'll have some open forums. And you can always ask me. I don't know all the answers, but God's Word does have those answers. But hallelujah today, we can be freed from the penalty, the power, and the presence, again, of what we deserve under the law. So, I think it's about time we get started with the message. I always knew this would drive me to drinking eventually. Friends in Christ, as I prep for this message on the Ten Commandments, I read ahead a few chapters back. See how I explain these things, Woodrow? Ahead by reading back. To where the law was given by God on Mount Sinai. And again, our title today gives the essence of the whole thing. God is manifesting his holiness in these Ten Commandments, which eventually flowed into how many laws in the Old Testament? 613. Yep, that's right. He's showing his holiness, and he's showing us our what? Unholiness. And exposing that. And that's the purpose of the law, folks. All the way back. By the way, a relationship with God was possible in the Old Testament when people realized that they could only count on the holiness and righteousness of God imputed to them to be saved or to be rescued. Salvation has not changed throughout the Bible from the Garden of Eden till today. We are saved by God's grace through faith, trust in God, without any kind of works. The only works that save us is the work of Jesus Christ. Very important that we understand that. That's how people always have been saved and how they always will be. Now, there's a lot more that factors into that as we study theology, but that's the basics. That's the basics. Excuse me. Anyway, as I studied backward a little bit to go forward in Exodus, the Spirit basically gave me these thoughts. Ever since the fall of man, God, in his love for man, has been trying to get mankind's attention that we would, number one, see him for who he is and recognize him and desire to obey him that fellowship may be restored. By the way, class, where was fellowship disrupted with God? It's okay to talk. In the Garden of Eden, when mankind was given God's law, which says, you shall not eat. But man chose to disobey God's holiness that was manifested in his law to man. And they did eat. And by the way, Adam was responsible for all that. I do believe Eve took the first taste of the fruit. We don't know what that is. And of course, she was a gal. I'm not going to go any further into that because I'm anticipating a good lunch here later. Kim and I were, I think this is our fourth go-around with COVID. This was not nearly as bad as the first by any stretch of the imagination. But Kim had a Valentine dinner planned at home. And I'll tell you, it was exquisite. But neither one of us had been in the mood. So last night when I got home from down here, we had our Valentine thing. You wouldn't believe some of the, where is Kim? She's not here. Oh, I can say what I, no. You wouldn't believe some of the great stuff she had prepared. Oh, it was good, good stuff. But anyway, we were able to finally get that dinner effected. But God wants us to see us for who he is and to recognize that, you know, we need to find a way to have our fellowship restored with him. And of course, I've already told you, that's through Christ. And through the sacrifices, again, in the Garden of Eden, it was a lamb. Blood had to be shed. It's that ceremonial law that was showing again the coming of Christ, coming as the Lamb of God, where the sin had to be atoned for. It had to be paid for. And of course, Jesus paid that price once for all. You understand that today. But the fact is, there needed to be a way for fellowship to be restored. And Jesus is how that happened. And so he fulfilled the law in our place to effect restoration. I won't go there this morning, but Matthew 5, 17 through 20 talks about that. That Jesus fulfilled the law in our place. And by faith, that righteousness can be brought into our lives. And that for us to have fellowship with him, we need to admit that we of our own doing cannot, and in most cases, will not even. Okay? That's the stubbornness of man and the thinking of man. But we will not be able to obtain a relationship because of our inherited deficiencies. Kim and I had a discussion about this last Sunday around the table after we had Sunday school over speakerphone. And I said, you know, we have a lot of things we can blame Adam and Eve for. Oh, did I come back? I was going to tell you about Adam. Even though Eve took the first bite, Adam was the one that was responsible. That's called the headship of Adam. He was responsible for his family, for his wife. And Adam was not around when the serpent appeared. And I've always said men have that propensity even today to say, well, we'll let things go. And he did, and ultimately it was him that plunged us in the race into sin. But anyway, that was the story about the Valentine Day thing that I think fit. I'm not sure. But anyway, we had this discussion around the table. But what I said to Kim is, we can't really blame Adam and Eve because we would have done the same thing, wouldn't we have? Isn't that the truth? That's just the way we are, and we have a problem in obeying the law that God gives us. So our ancestors brought that upon us, but we probably would have done the same thing because we would not want to recognize even today, just as they didn't, who God is and the ways and what he is all about. And they fell into what's called sin, and sin goes along with another S word. It's called separation from God. Sin will always separate us from God. It isn't God's intent that happens, but it does. And only restoration through Christ can bring us back into a living relationship. Even for those of us today here, and I pray that's everyone that have had our sins placed under the blood of Christ, there's still times as we continue to struggle with sin. I do, and I know that you do too, because we still live in the flesh. We still need to be washed up and cleaned up. Even though we're forgiven for all eternity, we still need to see things set straight because transgression of the law brings a point of separation in our walk with the Lord. So these things are very important. Anyway, read those accounts in Exodus, or look at man today. God's holiness manifested, man's unholiness exposed. If you read what took place before Mount Sinai and the giving of the law, you saw it over and over again. God's people knew they should have done differently. They knew they should have obeyed God's law and his commandments, but they chose to what? To not do it and to disobey. And therefore, the results of all that throughout history, right till today, have been tragic. But know this, and if you get this from this topic today, Jesus is the only connection between unholy man and a holy God. Now, we've been a little dry this morning, and I'm not asking to say if you don't believe it, but I'm going to say it. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen. Amen! Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. It's all about him, folks. He's so good to us today. Yes, he is. So, here's my question. Should the Ten Commandments and all 613 laws in the Old Testament that flowed out of them be in front of us publicly? What do you think? We've had a big movement in our nation, and I think around the world, to squelch the Ten Commandments. Should they be listed? Should we be looking at this today? And the answer is yes. And why is that the case? Because as we see those listed, we are continually reminded of God's holiness and our unholiness, and that is the whole purpose of the law. It's so that we can understand we need Jesus. We need the grace of God in our lives. So yes, I believe it's important. Even though if they're all taken down, Even if the Bible were to disappear and we had no copies of it, the Bible says that we all bear the law of God in our conscience. We were created with a conscience. We can make the choice to squelch the conscience and to resist it, and the Bible uses this term, to sear it with a hot iron where it no longer pricks us. But the conscience is the law of God written in our hearts. We know right from wrong, and it's placed within us. But it doesn't hurt to have these things listed and posted for the right reasons. But sadly, so much of when we see the Ten Commandments posted, it's the idea that we must keep the law. Let me just say this. It will never be wrong to keep the law. Okay? You will never make a mistake by doing that. Again, we're talking here about the civil laws and the moral laws. We can't keep the ceremonial law because it has been what? Superseded in Jesus Christ. But you will never go wrong. You'll never go wrong not stealing. You'll never go wrong not committing adultery. You'll never go wrong placing God first, having no other gods before Him in your life. These things are all profitable for man. We'll look at that from the Word here in just a minute. So should they be public? Absolutely. And they need to be repetitively so for us to keep, again, the idea of God's holiness and be able to have fellowship with God through the one who fulfilled them in keeping the law through Jesus Christ. So, yes and no, they are important if they're interpreted correctly. They are necessary to remind us, like it says in Galatians 3:24, that Paul uses the term schoolmaster. They cause us to understand our need for Jesus and bring us to Christ and the need of God, a reminder of God's holiness and our unholiness and the generosity of Jesus who fulfilled them in our place. If we will accept this important holiness into our unholy lives by faith. Keeping the law the best we can as redeemed sinners will always be profitable, but unattainable in totality. I believe that because, again, the fact that we're all sinners, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We'll look at these verses here in a minute. It is possible to keep all those laws, but we know that it cannot be done because of our sinful frailty, our humanity, our flesh. Okay? So this morning, let's look at just a few verses. I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans. And if you're interested in reading about the law and our relationship to the law in the New Testament era, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, especially in the early part, delves into this very greatly. I'd like us to turn this morning to Romans chapter 3. And we'll just look at a few verses here quickly. Some of the things that help us to understand what the law is and what it isn't. And so I want to begin this morning, and I encourage you to read Romans 2 and 3 for sure, but all the whole book of Romans. But I'd like to read this morning from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verses 9 and 10, and we'll look through a few verses here, and then we'll move on. Paul writes this to the church at Rome, the believers at Rome. By the way, the church at Rome was not a massive building or edifice. It was a what? A group of believers. And that's what the church is. We learned that a few weeks ago. Fruitland Baptist Church's building is an identity point. The church is believers here today in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, what then? Are we better than they? He's talking, you can read the text that precedes us. He says, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and non-Jews or Gentiles that they are all, read it to me, we're all sinners. As it is written, read this for me, folks, there is a few that are right. Oh, none that are righteous. And Paul clarifies that with not even one. He's talking about humanity here. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Folks, if this doesn't hit us in the face, if this doesn't correct what Satan's efforts are through man's education and man's ways that says basically you're good. God's law says basically, I can prove it to you, God says you're bad. See, we're sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one. Look at verses 19 through 20. And I want you to read the rest of this too as you study this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become, here it is folks, guilty before God. The law condemns us and helps us to understand that we are not able to keep it. We have not kept it. Going on with verse 20. Therefore, take this very clearly here, by the deeds of the law, or by keeping the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That word justified means being declared righteous. You will not be declared righteous because you cannot keep the law. Jesus is the only one that did, and he is the only one, his imputed righteousness to our account, our negative account, is the only one that can cause us to be righteous in the sight of God, God the Father. Hallelujah, amen. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the... That's how we do it. You know, it's a quirky thing, and you and I all know of this. We can admit it today. Not only do we know what we read in the law, that it's wrong because of our conscience, and again, what we have come to understand about God and his perspective with mankind. But you know, in a sense, and the Bible goes along with this, when we see the law, we're tempted even by Satan to what? To try it. To sin. When the law says, thou shalt not steal, it introduces us to what? The concept of stealing. And Satan works in our hearts and says, well, you know, it wouldn't be wrong to steal a roll of toilet paper at work. Surely they wouldn't miss that. It wouldn't be wrong to punch out at regular time but leave 5 minutes early. Surely God will excuse that. By the way, who in here has it? I got my hand up. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I tell you this morning, I'm doing my best to tell you the truth on the basis of the Word of God. We've all come short of the glory of God. There are no deeds of the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we know it. We know it. Verses 21 through 24. But, and remember this, we're always thankful for buts in the Bible. I know I've had raised eyebrows at that before. No, but, B-U-T, which is a what? I believe it's called a conjunction. It interrupts a train of thought and says, but this is the result of this. So let's see what this says. But now, Paul writes, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Page turn here briefly. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus bought us back from the default slave market of sin if we'll accept what he's done for us and believe on his name and believe what he's done. Anyway, and then one last verse, and I want you to read the whole chapter, but verse 31. Do we then make void the law? Paul ends this argument. Answer me before I read it. No, we already know the purpose of the law is to what? Show us God's holiness and our unholiness. Should the law still stand? Even though the ceremonial part of it has been abolished in Christ, should it still stand? Paul says, yes. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, may it never be. Yea, we establish the law. And just like we've learned on Sunday nights, it's the law that convicts people to come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have that clarified. We're down to 5 minutes. But that's a basic point of the law, and we could talk a lot more about that. But the law has a big effect on mankind. And the biggest effect ever is to expose us to our need for Jesus. All right, we got that point, right? I think I've explained that fairly well. So let's go to page 2. And we're talking here about the Ten Commandments and the 613 recorded commandments that flowed out of that. So we're going to break this down. And in just a few minutes, we'll come back next week. But the Ten Commandments, also known as the Decalogue, have an interesting component to them. First of all, in the first four, there is a vertical component. And what I mean by vertical, it's an upward, a Godward component. Our relationship as sinful humans to a holy God. The second part of this is the six that are horizontal components. Our relationship with one another in view of the holiness of God. Now, Jesus said this, and help me, Lord. I got to look back on my page. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. When Jesus was asked how the law could be fulfilled, what the law meant in a nutshell, all these 613 laws, he said what? Remember what he said? The vertical, love God. The horizontal, love your neighbor. In other words, if love, agapao in the Greek, if that is the position that we have towards God and one another, by the way, agapao love is what? Unconditional love. If we possess that in our hearts toward God and toward one another, we don't have to worry about fulfilling every one of those 613 laws because they will be fulfilled automatically. Amen. See, that's what Jesus taught. He said, cut it right down to the chase. It's all about love. See? And those commandments will be fulfilled through love. They're fulfilled for us through the love of God toward us, but they'll be fulfilled again through our love toward God and one another. So let's examine this in the last couple of minutes, and we'll pick up where we left off. I gave you a bad reference. It's actually Matthew 22, 34 through 40, where Jesus said that. Sometimes I see things here, and I don't see things that are right in front of me. But let's go to Exodus 20, and we're going to look at the first thing that God had to say, and we'll close with that for today. Come back next week and continue and hopefully finish this topic. But Exodus chapter 20. And let's see if this meets our criteria that we've talked about this morning, that the Ten Commandments display God's holiness and cause man to understand our unholiness. So the first commandment is what? Here it is. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. Well, 1 through 2. And God spake all these words, saying, by the way, keep in mind how this worked. God called Moses up into the mount, and he spoke these words. If you study through this, God called Moses back under the mount to give him what? Tables of stone with the law written. Remember what happened when Moses was up in the mount. The Israelites didn't think he was coming back, so they partied. And guess what the first thing they did was? They melted down their gold, made a golden calf, made an idol. Moses had to go back up into the mount to receive another set of tablets because Moses was the first one to... when he heard all the goings... I think Moses had a little temper. You can prove that out, which is sin, by the way. Moses gave the tablets a throw and broke the law. Did you know that, Brenda? Yeah. Yeah, he had a little rage. But I believe it was righteous indignation. But anyway, I'm having some fun. I hear the youngsters getting ready to come up from downstairs. God says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What had God done with the Israelites? He delivers them from 400 and a few years of slavery, working in the mud pits, making bricks. You know, they were ready to go until they got across the creek, the Red Sea, and then they were ready to go back and eat the garlic and the fish and go back to the sin of Egypt. They didn't recognize God for who he was. And we sit here today and say, you ignorant people, how, when he parted the Red Sea, when he took you out of bondage, how could you not recognize who he is? Well, we'd have done the same thing probably, Brother Dave. Because as you read through the book of Exodus and you read through the book of the history of man, we're complainers. I'm sure the thoughts passed through some of your minds already. When's he going to be done? I went to a concert the other night on folding chairs. We're complainers, we're murmurers. That's what the Bible, the term it uses. But God tells them here, he says, and by the way, if you go back in here just a little bit, you'll find that God was going to give these laws and Israel said, yep, we'll obey them, Lord. But guess what? Didn't work that way. He says, you should have no other gods before me. And so here's what God is showing here in this law. He's saying, you have every reason to love me and put me first. Why? Because I'm a good God. I've proven that to you. I took you out of bondage and destruction. Can you recognize that and let me know that I'm number one? And Israel says, oh yeah, sure. Until what? Until they got across the creek and ran out of water. Oh, I don't think that God that brought us through the Red Sea, he may not be able to get us water. Oh, well, he just parted water. And there's a whole account of that that comes about too. But here's man. And I'd like you to go to Exodus 19:8 for this, just real quickly here. Back up one little bit. This is what I was referring to, 7 and 8. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Lonnie, what'd you say? They thought up a lie and they thought it up quick. Because here's what happened. What God proffered to them sounded good. But as I said just a few minutes ago, as soon as Moses was gone up into the mountain, gone a little longer than what they thought was right, you turn over to Exodus chapter 32, and lo and behold what? God is not number one. And we're not going to do everything he says. Folks, we'll explore this with the Decalogue in the week to come, or however long it takes, unless you get bored, and then we'll have to do something to... No, I'm... If you're bored with God's Word, you're in big trouble. Because this is exciting stuff, because the principles are still there today. Repetition. I told some kids in school here 2 weeks ago, I told them to quiet down. And then I said, you know, there's three things you need to learn today before we're done with class. Number one, you need to eat more fish. Fish will help you with your memories. So shut her off. Eat more fish and do what I say. The second thing is, get to going. When they were coming in the classroom, I said, you're late. They said, we're not late. The bell, I said, we should have been here at 5 o'clock this morning. Getting going. We could have been headed home by now. And the third thing, stay out of trouble because it's looking for you. We'll explore this further, but here's my conclusion. All of the things that we have studied this morning and will study about Israel and the relationship to the law prove Israel nor mankind is able to love God of their own volition with their whole hearts. See, that's what it all comes down to. God wants us to love us, love Him with our whole heart, our whole mind, our soul, our body. Okay? Yep. And Israel, and we can't love God properly. See? We have that problem in our brokenness. They couldn't do it with their own volition. We'll look into this more next week, but I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Ten Commandments and what flows out of them shows us that we personally are unable to approach a holy God as an unholy people. And so our need for God's mediator, the God-man called Jesus, is the whole point of the law. So if you wonder, if you miss the next 2 weeks, the whole point of the law is to point out Jesus. Okay? Who will deliver us if we ask from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin that the law exposes in us? When we understand and are delivered, then we can love Jesus and God as He intends. Right? Love God. Love your neighbor. Can you sing this morning truly? Oh, how I love Jesus. Thinking about what we've learned today, I think this, folks, when we really are able to comprehend what Jesus has done for us, when we really are able to understand what He has saved us from in our rotten sinfulness, we can maybe sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and mean it. But that's something for everyone to think about today, because we're going to sing it. Can you sing it that you truly love Him because of what He's delivered you from? If you haven't been delivered, by the way, you're still under the penalty of the law, the power of the law. And if you aren't redeemed, you'll be under the presence of paying for your disobedience to the law for all eternity. Today's the day to go to Jesus, folks. Go to His love and learn what real love is. And also, like the Israelites, do you have a thankful heart before Him today? Or what else is on your mind that's taken God out of what? Number one position in your life today. Bottom line, He wants you to come to Him now. And thankfully, Jesus' arms are ready to receive you today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, number 69. Stand if you're able, please. Number 69. It's, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, it's scary to sing this, but even as I put this message together, I'm becoming to realize in a more deep way, I do love Jesus. Do you today? And if you don't, it's a day to get it right. Because He's waiting patiently. And He wants you to be in fellowship with Him. I want to have a deeper love for Jesus. How about you? Don't be afraid to step out publicly today and run to Jesus. But if you have a question, I'm glad to help, and others here. We're here to support and encourage one another to get it right before it's too late. Let's sing together today. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest thing on earth. Sing it for me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Maybe there's one or more here today that say, you know, I ought to step out. I ought to go to Jesus' love. I want to love Him. I want to learn about Him. I want to hear more about this. Then why not do it? I'll tell you what, folks, it'll be the best move you ever made. Jesus loves you publicly. You come for His love publicly. Let's sing the refrain. Oh, how I love Jesus. Doug Chatfield, would you close, please, in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this time we had here this morning. Pray that each of us would truly mean that, that we love you most of all. Help us to know and make you number one. Realize that we fall short of following your law, and that we need your help. Jesus' precious blood to cover us, to make us whole in your sight, complete. Pray that we would quality time with our families this afternoon. Look forward to being back here this evening, Lord, and learning how to witness more for you this day. Thank you now for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.